It's World Cup time, and tech is leaving its mark on the beautiful game. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jed Kim, in from Hollywood. One of the great things about soccer is that it takes so little to get a game going. Two people kicking at something, doesn't even have to be a ball. Make a goal out of some chairs, a gap between trees, it's on. But starting a few years back, clubs, looking for an edge over the competition, began turning to sophisticated tech to analyze gameplay, help with training, and the field keeps evolving. Plus, tech advances are also very visible for those of us who are glued to our TV sets this tournament. There have been a lot of instances of refs using instant replay to make calls. To learn more about the gamut of soccer technology that's out there, we spoke with Steve Hake. He's a professor of sports engineering at Sheffield Hallam University in the United Kingdom. And he told us about the most expensive instance he knew of, called the Footbonaut.
It's a square box, probably about, each side is probably about 40 feet long, and the player stands in the middle. So it's all enclosed, it's inside a building, and then a sound goes off which alerts the footballer's attention to a frame, kind of a picture frame size thing, out of which a ball flies at him or her. The footballer then has to trap the ball, and then there's another alert and a different frame lights up, and the football player has to kick the ball through that frame. And this keeps continuing. So these balls are flying at the footballer, who then has to trap the ball and then hit it to the frame that lights up. Actually, it's something that would be great in an arcade, actually.
Sounds like my nightmare.
Yeah. And so these things, you know, it's just $3 million. There's only a couple of them that exist in the world.
What about on the other end of things? What are some of the cheaper ways?
Well, actually, you know, one of the things that I'm most proud of that we created was a little app called Snapshot. And it's just an app on your phone, and you point the camera on your phone at someone kicking a football. You record them kicking the football. You then just click on the screen where the football starts, and then it tells you the speed, spin, an angle of the football. And it was just a really nice, simple way of showing that for not a lot of money, you can create something that's really quite simple in terms of measuring how fast a ball goes and the performance of a player.
So if you're a club that has a lot of big fan base, a lot of revenue coming in, does that give you an advantage?
Yes, it does, but only to a certain level. So you can throw money at a problem, and you can end up with the best sensors, the wearables in high-tech gear, and you put all that information in, and you could have anything from, you know, number of accelerations, how far someone has run, what their heart rate was, how many goals they've scored. But then you need someone to distill that information into something useful. And it's those people on the ground that are doing that analysis. There still isn't, you know, any AI, artificial intelligence, that can do that job.
You've talked about the importance of immediate feedback when it comes to training athletes.
Yes.
How has that changed with these technological advances?
So when I started out in this field of kind of sports engineering technology, you know, you had a camera with film in it. So you'd take some pictures, you'd then go and you'd send it off to be processed. It'd come back a few days later. You'd then spend the next week analyzing it. And it would take weeks and weeks and weeks. And you'd come back and you'd say, well, I've just found out that, oh, the player's injured. Okay, forget that. You know, so that's what you'd do. And then it would move on to digital cameras. And digital cameras came out in the late 80s, early 90s. And they really revolutionized everything, because then what you could do is you could then stick everything to a computer. You didn't have to print any film off. And you could start doing a lot faster.
In this Women's World Cup, they're using this video-assisted referee. It's kind of like instant replay. It's been controversial because it's slowed down, you know, gameplay.
Yes.
This is something that other sports have had to deal with. Is this just the new reality for soccer?
Yeah. I mean, you know, rugby has used this for years, and perhaps is a bit slicker at using it than soccer. Now, VAR, we're going through this transition where the referees could call a decision, but they're actually sending it off to VAR. And then those VAR, you just basically have a load of screens and you have some assistant referees just watching the footage that everyone else can see anyway and going backwards and forwards. A few kind of, you know, a little bit slicker than that in terms of how they toggle backwards and forwards. But they're making the decision again and repeating it. And they're a bit scared about making some of these decisions. And so they're not going very fast. Mm. And then the referee's coming over and they're having that discussion. And we're seeing like 7, 10, 15 minutes of extra time, which is unheard of in soccer. You know, that's just unheard of. So, you know, I think it's teething problems. And I think after this tournament, I think we'll probably see some changes. There'll be some protocols written in which just say, come on, guys, speed it up a little bit and don't send everything to VAR. You don't need to do that.
Steve Hake is a professor of sports engineering at Sheffield Hallam University in the UK. By the way, even though he could easily travel to the actual games, he says his preferred method for watching matches is through a little technology called the TV. You see better. And now for some related links. Wondering about that $3 million contraption Steve Hake mentioned, the football knot? I sure was, so I went looking for info. The German soccer league Bundesliga explains how it works. Picture a batting cage where several pitching machines fire soccer balls at you. Top speed, 62 miles per hour. I also loved a YouTube video of a homemade version someone built in their garage. Kick and music. Some lights, a patient parent, $3 million saved. Deadspin has apparently been throwing a lot of shade at video assistant referee, basically instant replay. But it says it's the way the technology is being mandated for making calls that's the real problem. Also, it was sprung on human refs and players with relatively little notice. Gotta give time for everyone to get used to new tools. And finally, you can play video games to get better at sports. A Sports Illustrated story from a little while back explains how some video games can improve players' abilities to keep track of opponents, anticipate plays, switch from offense to defense. Nothing about how to kick a ball better, though. I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Part of being a responsible news organization, especially one that covers business and the economy, is fiscal responsibility. Marketplace's budget year ends on June 30th, and we're closing in on our goal of 2,500 donors for this drive, but we still need to hear from you. Even a gift of just $5 will make a difference. Please donate now at marketplace.org, and thank you.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.